You're listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of ST Times. And now, here's Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief of ST Times.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another interesting podcast on the What the Dev weekly podcast of ST Times. I'm Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief. And today, the conversation is going to be about biometric authorization, and hopefully we'll soon see the end of passwords altogether. Anyway, here to talk about it is Mohammed Lazouni. He's the CTO of a company called Aware. Mohammed, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, David.
Yeah. So, you know, we've heard about biometrics being more secure than passwords. Obviously, you know, you can't, you know, leave your face in the computer and have somebody hack it or your fingerprint. You know, it's been slow, I think, on the industry's part to adopt some of these things. And I'm curious to know, maybe we can start with, you know, what are some of the challenges for organizations who want to implement this kind of stuff?
Sure. Well, thanks so much, David. We could perhaps put these challenges into a variety of categories. So let's start with the first one, which is obviously, as is the case with most of these types of technologies, data quality is what determines really what you can and cannot do. As a lot of these systems that perform the verification or identification effectively consume, for lack of a better term, the payload, and that payload is the biometric itself, a portrait, a voice recording, a fingerprint collection of some sort. And so that data comes into the system. So the data quality and consistency is paramount to the success of this process. Obviously, a poorly collected quality image will result in a very poor performance. So dealing with these elements and having all of the necessary safeguards that are put in place, technologically speaking, on the side of ensuring the capture of the quality, the hygiene of the process around the quality capture, the physics of the sensor, all of these elements are fundamentally critical to making the results predictable consistently over and over again. So that would be one category of the challenges. Mm-hmm. The second category of the challenges is obviously the data governance and the requirements around security and privacy. One of the things with biometrics that is paramount in terms of its importance is to ensure that it doesn't get compromised. The loss perhaps of an email address or the loss of a password can be recovered in some way because one can create another one. However, the loss of biometrics such as a fingerprint or a face or a voice print can have dramatic consequences on the user. And as such, the idea of how we protect the sensitivity, this sensitive biometric data, how do we implement hardening technologies around it to ensure that it is very, very hard to crack and work on, in addition to the data management itself, GDPR, CCPA, all of the requirements that could be pertinent to state, local government, global requirements, etc., is paramount. So that's basically the second one I would put forth. And perhaps the third and the last one, it's extremely important that while we do this with biometrics, that obviously we do not make the user experience impossible. Then it would defeat the very purpose about why we are trying to do away with something that is already either difficult to use or annoying. And as such, the user experience becomes also of critical and paramount importance. The very last one, which is one that I think we have seen it emerge, and it was about time that it gets emerged and deserves the focus that gets put on it, is the idea of ethical challenges. You certainly do not want a biometric system to have a bias built into it. You don't want a biometric system that can then lead inadvertent or on purpose or whatever the case might be to things that have to do with discrimination or lack of accountability or not understanding the liability that comes with this. So all of these are critically important to consider, and all of them have a technical dimension that is paramount to their success and to their implementation.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah. So I've started using it with a lot of my devices, you know, the biometric authorization. Which do you think is most secure? Is it face recognition, fingerprint, or voice?
this question pretty much works on the basis of every technology person you ask about. It will probably start always with something similar to my answer, which is, it depends.
Right.
So every case obviously is slightly different. But if you were to do it like apple to apple comparison in some way, so you can at least at the minimum make a cost benefit analysis or a security cost benefit analysis. So typically the way that it works, because the fingerprints allow for rather something unique in terms of the identification. So if you are able to collect your 10 fingerprints with a mechanism that is low friction, optical based, etc., so that would be a gold standard in accuracy. The friction there, obviously, is you have to have a dedicated piece of hardware that collects the 10 fingerprints, and the quality will have to be significant, and the process will be high friction because you have to collect an entire roll of the fingerprint from one end to the other in order to get that sort of standard and that sort of accuracy. So that would be one way to think about it. The second runner-up coming after this with be the use of face recognition, and the third one coming up that would be obviously the voice recognition. And we are not talking about the things that are esoteric or have very special applications, things that have to do with iris recognition or retina or vein or other things. Okay. And obviously all of the people who specialize in this area will promote the accuracy narrative of one versus the other, depending on the circumstances or depending what you can and cannot do. But generally speaking, where we seem to see things moving primarily because of the ubiquitous adoption of the sensors that are available for people bringing their own devices into implementations, where you are not having to teach the user or impose something on the user, slowly but surely face recognition and voice recognition are gaining the most adoption because they are readily available. People can use them and you can readily jump into them without a learning curve or a training of the user or things like that. They would give you the best compromise between accuracy and ease of use.
And of course, I guess these new biometric techniques will make it more challenging for bad actors to try to, force their way into a system to do their damage. But what are some of the areas of concern as far as, bad actors are concerned? And how do you prevent somebody who, for instance, is a great voice mimic to do an impression of someone that mm-hmm. sounds exactly like that person? Or as you said, puts in a contact lens that changes the look of the eye that would then meet that criteria. So what are some of the things they should be concerned about?
Yeah, fantastic question, David. So that opens up the domain or the realm, if you wish, of something that within the biometric industry is usually referred to as a presentation attack, meaning that instead of doing a legitimate transaction where there is a human being on the other end doing it for legitimate purposes and following the rules, where you do have now a bad actor attempting to game the system and presenting something that is not what it is meant to be, whether it is a voice recording or perhaps a portrait of a person instead of a person, or replaying the video of someone in the hope of doing that. So these presentation attacks, if you wish, span an entire spectrum of sophistication and depth and knowledge and potency as they have evolved over time. Perhaps on the low end, the most primitive forms of presentation attacks, say in the example of face recognition, would be to Photoshop something, print it out, and present it to a camera and attempt to make the camera believe that this is the face of a real human being rather than a shop Photoshopped portrait that had been presented to the camera. And to your point, you could do the same thing with voice, which is either by presenting an illegal voice recording or to present a manipulated voice recording in some fashion to attempt to spoof and make the transaction believe that the real human being exists on the other end. And perhaps the most developing and evolving new one that's coming is the application of artificial intelligence and models in order to create serious deep fakes that allow the fraudsters to present something either for prank or towards nefarious means to a camera or to a sensor and fool them into believing that it's not, it's really a real human being rather than a presentation attack. So that's a quick synopsis of the entire horizon that goes in there. And there's a lot more. You can inject payloads inside inside the sensor. There are a lot more that we can talk about. But let's flip now from these various flavors of presentation attacks to countermeasures on how we apply them to do this. Obviously, there isn't a panacea. There isn't a one size that fits all of these. Generally speaking, the way we solve this particular problem is through adaptation. Some of these techniques that people use, we have countermeasures that are specific to those techniques that we deploy and we put in place in order to either catch or prevent such things from happening. So a few examples on how we do this. So sometimes the sensors of the device that is being subject to this spoofing has unique signatures where we can tell the difference when it is behaving into a genuine scenario and when we know that it is being spoofed or attacked in a certain way. So those signals can be brought back, analyzed, and we can profile a genuine behavior from a non-genuine behavior. So that's one way in which we can do it. Another way in which we can do it is by training the data and the models that do these detections that will allow us then to recognize this is a population of good behavior, and this is a signature of a population of imposters. And we have a rather good discriminatory statistics that would allow us to tell the difference between a genuine and counterfeit.
Mm-hmm. So using the deep learning of AI to help with the matching, so to speak.
Indeed.
Yeah. Interesting. I know when we spoke earlier, you had talked about you're seeing in terms of adoption that the arrow is kind of moving from fraud detection, which we've discussed at great length, just to convenience. And I think it's the convenience more than the security that's really going to drive greater adoption. What do you think?
That's such an insightful point, and it is indeed the case. So what we are seeing here, although usually we attempt to avoid forcing people into the choice, you can either have one or the other. And the answer is obviously never that. It's not like when you opt for convenience, you are sacrificing security. That is not what we are talking about. But what we are talking about here is a reasonable balancing act into the operating point of where you tune the system. And where is the general trend that one is observing is that obviously this argument of convenience is paramount to the success of the business transaction, the lifetime of a customer, a KYC transaction, an enrollment transaction cannot become an impediment into doing business. There are regulatory requirements that will demand that for a particular identity to be put into a system of record, it must be checked and it must be trusted, and one can achieve that without necessarily completely sacrificing and compromising the user experience. So let's talk about few ideas that get used in there. For instance, you can have a system that is specifically tuned or profiled to allow you to not merely say that I would reject everyone that doesn't meet this particular requirement, but where you would insert some intelligence in not making it totally black and white. You would look at a certain population that has statistics in its behavior, and you say that by and large, the variance within this particular group of statistics is all legitimate. It's possible that perhaps the user is being handicapped by a lighting condition, or the user is being handicapped by the speed at which they are doing the transaction. So you don't start just rejecting these things. The system has intelligence to recognize these elements and adapt to them properly. Notwithstanding the fact that it is constantly also watching the behavior that could be fraudulent and needed. And that's why people in the desire to be inclusive in the desire to do the right thing by their customers and by making the user experience acceptable, are demanding that you don't merely have to have a binary choice. It's either this or that. You must comply by supporting both of these requirements.
Excellent, excellent stuff. Yeah, such a growing area here. I know I use a MacBook Pro that I use my thumb fingerprint on my phone, my applications. I have the face recognition. So it certainly seems to be a much more convenient future for all of us.
Indeed, indeed.
Great. So Mohamed Lazouni, CTO of a company called Aware, which is working in the biometric space to bring solutions to the market. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir. Anytime.
Okay. And thanks to all our listeners again for tuning in to What the Dev. I'm Dave Rubenstein. Until next time, so long for now.